Do you feel a closeness with the Lord? Or do you feel estranged with every reminder of Him? Do you know His warm hand? Or do you feel desperate calling into the dark of night? You may be sitting in your pew in church right now, singing the songs, bowing your head during prayer, even listening to this lesson, but still feel so far removed. When you sing, the songs feel like little more than notes on a page. When you bow your head, you become easily distracted because your prayers seem like a struggle for words in between "Dear Lord" and "Amen." Even now, if you're listening to this lesson, it's a strained experience, either by shame or guilt or simply a dissonance between the subject matter and what you see in your life. If you've said yes to any of this, this lesson is for you. You are feeling the effects of sin, the curse from being removed from the Lord. This lesson is for you. It's not to beat you over the head or to rebuke you for having a less than perfect relationship with the Lord. It's to answer the question, is there a solution? Is there a cure for the pain? And the answer is yes. Today, you can be cured rather than cursed. This evening, we're going to study Galatians chapter 3. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. And I will implore you, once you've turned there, to stay there. We'll be reading a lot of scriptures, but they will all be on the overhead because I want you to see the connections to Galatians chapter 3. As we study Galatians chapter 3, we'll be studying it in the light of the struggle that the Jews encountered in the time that they were cursed and removed from the Lord. They were given an answer, and this is the answer that they received. Because Christ was cursed, you can be cured. Read with me in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 14. Even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many are as of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now the one who is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is a powerful passage, and that which I find most powerful in it is where it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse which was our own by becoming cursed himself. But the story of this passage starts far before Galatians 3 was ever written. It goes all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the beginning. And it's in this that we need to understand the relationship between blessings and curses if we're going to really understand this passage. Blessings and curses are always meant to contrast each other. You were to either receive one or the other. If you think of a curse, oftentimes the first thing that comes to my mind is some voodoo or witchcraft kind of curse or spell or whatever, some instrument of bad luck. But that has nothing to do with these curses here. Think of blessings and curses as rather like rewards and punishments. They came through the Lord and were promised to those who kept His law, who were abiding in Him, who were faithful to Him. And so keep those two words in mind. Blessings equals rewards, and curses equal the punishment. You see that in a lot in the Old Testament. But where it gets back to Abraham is blessings, those rewards, are at the heart of the Lord's promise to Abraham. Just as you see in Galatians chapter 3, it mentions the promises preached to Abraham in verse 8, and in 14 it speaks of the blessings of Abraham. That hails back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Where it says, read with me, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Note how many times blessings is found in the rest of this passage. "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Or it also says, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed." Just look at how many times it says blessing in that passage. You may think, or I heard a lot since I was a child, that the promises to Abraham were the land promise, the seed promise, and the nation promise. But I think what's really at the heart of these promises is blessing. Those rewards from being in a relationship with God. And that was promised to Abraham. Because he was of faith. But it didn't stop there. These blessings continued on. In fact, we find them repeated several times. And the Israelites knew. The Israelites knew that the promises came to the sons of Abraham. As genealogically, they are passed down generationally to the sons of Abraham. We see just a little while later in Genesis chapter 25, verses 2 through 4, where it says, "The Lord appeared to him," that is Isaac, "saying, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore with your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants," that is by your seed, "all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." That is to Isaac. And once again, in Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 through 14, we see, "And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said to Jacob in a dream, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to your descendants. Your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out over the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants," that is once again in your seed, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Though the Israelites recognized that the promise which was given to Abraham came down through the genealogy of Abraham, Galatians shows us something different. It identifies the sons of Abraham as those of faith. Now, though they recognized that this progression of the promise came down through Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, who is also called Israel, and subsequently to the nation of Israel. That blessing then came upon this nation, and unfortunately, they ignored it. Because they, the Israelites, were cursed. Though we have the promise of this blessing here, tracing through Genesis, coming up even until the Exodus. At the Exodus, the Israelites received the law. And when they received the law, when the law came, there was an opportunity for both blessings and curses. Sorry for the typo. There was an opportunity for both blessings and curses. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 26 through 28, verse 2, where it says, "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. All the people shall say, Amen. Now it shall be, if you are diligent and obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." Deuteronomy continues to read. There, chapter 27. If you want to turn there also, you can do that. Deuteronomy chapter 27 or 28, beginning in verse 3. "Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body to produce of your grounds, and the offsprings of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be shall you be when you come in, and blessed when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against you and be defeated before you. They will come out against you by one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings upon your barns and in all that you put in your hand to do, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord gives you." Blessings, blessings, blessings just being poured out on these people. But it also goes back to in verse 15, "But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I charge to you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And just as many blessings as he promised curses. And remember what that means is punishments. And unfortunately, with the law that came about an opportunity for both blessings and curses, the people of Israel chose the curse rather than the blessing. You see throughout Israel's history, as they are lavished upon blessing and blessing and blessing as they were the people of God, what they chose was to serve idols. What they chose was to forsake the law of the Lord. What they chose was to do their own will. And because of that, Jeremiah, the prophet, as he comes into the land to proclaim the law of the Lord, says, "Therefore, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant." And Galatians quotes this passage saying that that cursed is the one who does not keep the law. As that was the case, they chose for themselves to be cursed. And so what happened as Jeremiah and Isaiah and all of the minor prophets came, what they told the Israelites was, you are about to receive all the curses that were promised to you. And the worst of which is God is going to send you back into captivity. He's going to send you back into Egypt, figuratively speaking, because he's going to send them to Babylon, send them back into chains. And that marked a turning point in Israel's history. They recognized that the problems, the punishments that they were receiving was on account of the sin which they had. So you see in the rest of Israel's history, in the intertestamental periods, that there was never again idolatry found like it had been before they were sent off into captivity. They pushed it away at all costs. And in fact, when the Greeks came and told them to sacrifice to someone other than God, they refused. They refused to have that idolatry in them. And persecution that came about from that just heightened their sense of they wanted to abide by the law. There were some who, wanting to relieve that tension, relieve that persecution, they wanted to be like the Greeks. They wanted to be socially like the Greeks. However, there was a distinguishing mark that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. And what was that? It was circumcision. And so there were actually some who tried to go through the process of uncircumcision. I don't even want to know what that process was like. However, it just made those who wanted to be of the Lord all the more vigorous in keeping the law, all the more passionate about being the people of God. We've talked for a long time, but this is where I feel like we meet the Israelites. The Israelites recognized that the punishments that they had received were on account of their violation of the law. It was on account of their sin. I've felt that before. Have you? You feel like God is just so far away because of the sin that's in your life. You know that you've done wrong. And because you know that you've done wrong, it's hard to appear before the Lord in prayer and talk to Him as if He was your Father. It's hard to sit among saints where everyone just seems so perfect, when you feel like you just don't belong. Now the Jews, they looked for an answer. And the answer that they looked for, or that they thought they had found, was just perfectly keep the law. And if you perfectly keep the law, all will be fine and God will restore His blessings. But in Galatians, they receive a different answer. And this is where I think this text becomes truly powerful. Because the answer was not in keeping the law to become the nation of Israel, to be the people of God. Because what Paul critiques them for in Galatians chapter 3 is that they couldn't do that. They were imperfect, just as we also see that we are. So there was a better answer than that. Read with me again in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse, that separation, those punishments from the law, having become a curse Himself for us, just as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Oh. He was cursed. Of all people, Jesus alone was not worthy of the curse. Not worthy of the punishments for sin. Because He Himself was perfect. He Himself never violated the law. He Himself always kept a perfect relationship with the Lord. Yet even though that was the case, it made Him the perfect sacrifice to redeem us. That's why we sang about redemption so much tonight, and I appreciate that. That we have been redeemed through Christ. We were delivered from this, from that captivity, from that bondage of being away from the Lord. Because He was without sin. And even though He was without sin, Jesus took on our curse and suffered the punishment of God for sin. The connection to that and those who hang upon a tree is in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22. It says, if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and we know that the wages of sin is death, he is to be put to death, and you shall hang him on a tree. The Septuagint, which Paul is quoting, says, cursed is all those who hang on a tree. Because they have committed a sin worthy of death. But Jesus didn't do that. Yet, all of that punishment, He took on Himself, and Himself took on the brunt. Again, curse equals punishment. Took on the punishment for our sin. How did He do that? By hanging on a tree. By being crucified. By enduring that cruel death, which He didn't deserve. And because He did that, the New Testament teaches us that He died for us. He died in our stead. He died and suffered that punishment so that we wouldn't have to. I don't know about you, but that to me is assuring. That gives me confidence. That gives me the hope and the joy and the wonder of all of those blessings that Abraham had. Because he was cursed, we are no longer cursed, but cured. If we are of faith, we become the recipients of the blessings of Abraham. We see that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, where it says, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And again in verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. If we are of faith, what does that mean? It means that we put our trust in God's ability to save us. It means that we strive for a relationship with God. It means that we forsake the sin in our life because we want something greater. And if we are of faith, we become the recipients of the blessings of Abraham because we become the sons of Abraham. We are cured from our sin because Galatians 3 quotes Habakkuk 2:4 saying, Genesis 18 saying, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It says he believed God, he had faith in God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And in receiving, being reckoned as righteous, we are redeemed from the sin which is putting the strain on our relationship with God. We're cured of that in faith. But not only are we cured of our sin, but we are also cured of death, because it says, and the righteous shall live by faith. Do you see the progression there? That if we are of faith, we become the sons of Abraham. And by faith it is reckoned to us as righteousness. And the righteous shall live by their faith. What this shows is a perfect relationship with Christ, with the Lord. And it's only possible through Christ. It's only possible through the death that He died. The reason I wanted to tell you all this evening is because as we battle with sin, it's very easy to feel removed, disconnected, separated from God. But the blood of Christ reconciles us to God so that we can have hope. We can have peace. We can have joy. And we can have life. And it's this that Paul is telling us in Galatians chapter 3. I want you to walk away from this lesson this evening, knowing that you don't have to deal with that strain of separation anymore. Knowing that you can have a perfect relationship with God and that you don't have to endure the punishment, the curse of sin. You have something far better. You have the opportunity of life in Christ. And if there are those among you this evening, or among us here today, who are still battling with that separation issues, you can become united with Christ today. You can become united with Him, being buried with Him in baptism, in the likeness of His death, and also in the likeness of the life which He lived, and the life which He lived to God. And you can be one with Him. And just as you are one with Him, you are one with the Father, and you will be with Him forever. That opportunity is available to you right now. Please avail yourself of that opportunity and be redeemed from the curse to receive a blessing instead as we stand and we sing this song.